Hey, Ben, Adam.
What's up, dude?
Yep.
Have you guys heard this new podcast where the hosts are trying to save the world through self-improvement challenges? They've done stuff like they microdosed shrooms, they swam with Olympians, they even gave up plastic for a week. It's pretty crazy. I mean, most comedy podcasts, the hosts just sit around and talk about old TV shows, but this podcast, they're actually doing something.
Yeah, Andrew, that's our podcast.
What?
Okay, that's, it's not a new podcast. It's called The Grolic Saves the World. And I hate to break this to you. You were in all of those episodes.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound like something I do. The Grolic Saves the what?
Yeah, The Grolic Saves the World, Andrew. Grolic, G-R-A-W-L-I-X. The comedy trio you've been part of for decades. It's the Grolic Saves the World podcast. It's our podcast, buddy.
G-R-A. What is it? Hang on. Let me go get a pencil.
G-R-A-W-L-I-X.
You don't own any pencils. Adam, new challenge. How about this? How about we kick Andrew out and we just do a podcast with the two of us?
You know, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I got a pen.
Andrew, Grolic Saves the World podcast, Starburns Audio Network. Starburns Audio.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
How'd that go?
It's good, man. You ever fuck around with it?
I've done two yoga classes in my life and enjoyed them, but they were I'll admit they were harder than I expected. I thought it was just going to be a bunch of laying around and stretching, but
it's as hard as you want it to be. It's Boogie Monster related because there's a whole area of like the wellness culture.
Mm-hmm.
And holistic thinking that lends itself to conspiracy theories. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. It's called Indoctrination, and the other one's called Conspirituality.
Okay.
But it's they really cover like how like yoga and wellness culture can get people like can really start creating. You know, when people start thinking like, oh, like holistic medicine and yoga, which is a good thing, and like eating right and, you know, herbs, but then it can kind of go into like the essential oils and I don't need medicine. And that turns into anti-vax, and anti-vax leads to other, you know, anti-government sentiments. And it's kind of like this pipeline way of thinking into that. But I didn't do that. It was just me and a bunch of old ladies today. they all seem pretty regular in there.
So what were some of the exercises or positions rather you had to do?
I mean, I just look at the main lady,
yeah,
and kind of mimic what she's doing.
Did you break a sweat?
It was almost, but not okay. Really. I have in the past. I've done it. Yeah, in the past when it's been regular yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been like, oh, shit, just trying to stand and hold yourself and use all your core muscles. It's mm-hmm. intense, man.
Yeah, I remember it being a lot of planks, which mm-hmm. in theory doesn't sound very difficult. You're like, oh, I could do that. And then you do it for about 8 seconds, and you're like, holy shit, this has gotten real hard real quick.
Those planks will get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
No, it did a little bit of that stuff. But it's just, you know, I just don't want to be like the old stiff,
mm-hmm.
everything's sore, just trying to sit down or this or that.
Yeah.
Like I see like several relatives of like the relatives that are active and do things all the time. And even at their age are just limber and they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's no pause in them walking upstairs or doing this or that. And then I would like to be like that. That's how I would like to feel as I age.
You know? Yeah. I was reading something the other day about your joints and whatnot, and they were talking about what obesity does to your joints. And I think if I read it correctly, for every pound that you are overweight, that's 3 pounds extra on your knees and 5 extra pounds on your feet. So I'm roughly, ashamed to say, I'm probably 75 pounds overweight. So I'm adding, 375 extra pounds on my feet when I go up and downstairs?
You got strong feet.
That's crazy.
Strong-ass feet, dog. We were doing this lady just handed out these little, blue stress balls, and we just put them under our foot and rolled them around and stretched out the tendons, and then it felt nice. I think there's something to that whole, you ever walk past the places like the Chinese foot doctor? I'm sure that's not what they're called, but they're usually Chinese, and they got a map of the foot, and it's all this does this, this does that, you know?
Hmm.
I think it's just a fancy way to say a foot massage is good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's a fairly neglected part of most people's bodies, are the feet. I know I don't do anything for my feet, although I should.
Man,
they're getting out of control, too, with the calluses and the dead.
They're getting out of control.
Man, I got a couple of cactus gloves, cactus socks on my feet. It's all
Get them tuned up, man. Get yourself one of them pumice stones.
Uh huh.
Go walk around a beach barefoot a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said never skimp out. And I don't know where, not like a quote or anything, but a piece of advice. Never skimp out on anything that goes between you and the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning tires for your car, shoes for your feet, mattress.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Never cheap out on that stuff.
Makes sense.
That's good advice.
Uh-huh. Hell yeah, buddy. Well, good times, man. You're back home. You made it home safe from the tundra.
Dog. It was sub-zero. That's why I needed the yoga gloves. Sub-zero, just sitting all the time. I was not eating well, drinking too much. There's a lot of brown liquor. When it's cold out, you go brown liquor.
Literally sub-zero?
Oh, the whole time. The whole time.
Sometimes when I think of it's below freezing, that's just kind of, in my mind, that's as cold as it can get. I know it's not, but just holy shit, it's below freezing. But you could be below freezing at 30 degrees and still be 30 degrees away from sub-zero. That's insane.
No, this was negative. The high temperatures maybe were in the single digits. But for the most part, it was sub-zero. I don't know if it was Fargo. I forget where it was. It was just negative 10 at night.
Ugh.
It sucked, man. It sucked real bad. But, hey, thank you to anybody that came out to the shows. Anybody who braved it. We had I want to shout out to a fellow named Zeb. Zeb worked for the production company that put on the stateside shows. We had one in Winnipeg. But we were about to drive Sean Jordan. He's like, I got my mom's Prius. I'll drive us. This is before it ever happened. This is weeks ago. Because we're like, oh, we don't know this guy. And it's we all know each other, Brogger and Sean and I. Oh, we're going to be in a car with a stranger. Yeah, get your mom's car. I'll be fine. I'm thinking it's going to be cold, but not what happened. Not Winter Store Olivia or whatever it was called. And so the day before, the blizzard happened the night we got to Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next day, we're all like, oh, man, thank God Zeb's here with a GMC Yukon or whatever it was. Sean's like, I don't think my mom's Prius is going to make it in this stuff. And so Zeb drove us. He was rad as hell. He was a good hang on top of getting us through just whiteout conditions, even in the Yukon. It was we'd hit a snowdrift on the highway. It would just bounce you into the next lane. You're like, oh, God. It was.
Damn.
And then if you stall out or something, how soon before you freeze if nobody sees you?
True.
Because it was an 8-hour drive or 7-hour drive between Sioux Falls and Duluth. And yeah, it was gnarly. And my man Zeb got us there.
Way to go, Zeb.
So, yeah, Zeb hooked it up. And then my buddy Jeff Sinclair came down from Winnipeg, picked us up in Fargo, and drove us up there. So we did it. We did it, baby.
Well, good for you, man. I'm glad it was a good run. You guys out there braving the elements.
Yeah, kind of made, kind of added a little pep to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have to struggle to get there. You're like, I'm going to make this worthwhile. I'm not going to phone it in. Not like I would ever phone it in, but mm-hmm. it's that kind of community. Like, oh, we all braved this. We all went through a similar thing just to be here. That adds a little more, makes it a little special.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah, it definitely adds stress to your commute. Like, you know, not to woe is me, but, you know, you can sympathize. Being out on the road can be, it can take its toll.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to call it a commute. It was an expedition.
Yeah, expedition. But, yeah, that's something I always worry about when I'm out on tours. Like, I just hope I don't get, hope I don't have any weather or traffic or mechanical related issues.
Sean Jordan killed. We're at a gas station, and he's like, got like an arm full of snacks and stuff. He's like, "Yeah, I'm just worried about like, what if you know, what if something happens to the car? We're gonna need to survive." And I'm like, "So taquitos and Mountain Dew is what you think is gonna get you through?" God damn, I love that dude.
Is he really drinking Mountain Dew?
My man is who he is.
That
and
seems
that
like
is why he's beautiful.
That seems like the guiltiest of pleasures. Like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy a Mountain Dew or the flavor of it, but I honestly can't
I would.
Tell you the last
I would
time
be lying.
I get the novelty of it. I see why people might like to swig on one every now and then, but it just seems like the most ridiculous thing.
I'm not judging him. He was downright excited because they have a Mountain Dew energy drink right now. I thought Mountain Dew was. You can't get more green than Mountain Dew. You can't get more supernaturally colored than Mountain Dew. I don't know what they're adding to it.
Ugh.
I think even when I was a kid, Mountain Dew, it was too sweet for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty damn sweet.
It was too sweet. And I love a Cherry Coke.
Yeah.
I'll choose a Pepsi over a Coke.
Oh, no. And
any day of the week.
No way.
Any day of the week.
You're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah. But I also don't understand. It's not like, oh, the people where if they don't have one, they can't have the other. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not that.
I'm just saying, if you got Pepsi products and Coke products, I'm going to have a Pepsi instead of a Coke. If you just have Coke, I'm looking for that flavor, I'll have a fucking Coke. But don't these people that, I just can't. Like, yes, you can. You're stunted. You're a stunted human being.
Dr. Pepper
I should ask, would you drink Pepsi if they only had Pepsi?
I mean, I seriously, it depends. Like for me, if I were to order a regular Coke, that's a caloric expenditure that I can't really afford. So I would be like, you know, it'd be like a little treat or a little cheat, you know. I don't think I would cheat with a Pepsi. I might have to, you know, if I was at a burger spot or barbecue spot, and I was like, oh, Coke would really. You know what? Actually, Mexican food is when I want to drink Coke the most. Something about Mexican food and Coke. I don't know if it's a childhood
thing. But also they have the Mexican Cokes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's great, too. But even just a regular old fountain Coke at a Mexican restaurant, I'm down. But, so I think if I was like, well, I shouldn't have a Coke, but I kind of want one, so yeah. Let's.
Is it the Atlanta? Is it the Atlanta thing?
Maybe. But if they were like,
is it hometown?
If they were like, we don't have Coke, we have Pepsi, I might be like, I'm not going to spend the calories on a Pepsi.
Okay.
It's a significant difference. I don't know. I don't know if it's the nostalgia, but I just prefer Coke. I don't know if I'd waste my calories on a regular old dumb Pepsi.
I don't, man. It's
stupid Pepsi. Mr. Pibb versus Dr. Pepper, which way are you going?
Give them to me. Either one.
Both. Yeah, I like Dr. Pepper. I feel like Mr. Pibb's better, though. Mr. Pibb has a mellow smoothness to it.
Mr. Pibb is he's not arrogant, you know? Mm-hmm. He's a man of the people. He's not a doctor. What? It's like, what is it? It's supposed to be a plum flavor?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm looking it up. It's supposed to be... Oh, there's 23 flavors.
Andy Samford has a great bit about that, about how it took them X amount of years to add cherry, add the 24th flavor. And then I'm not doing it justice, but he's like, I think they're being pretty loose with flavor. He's like, sodium phosphate's not a flavor, or not an ingredient.
Yeah,
just his joke, but it's a good premise. Worth checking out.
They got a lot of weird shit in there.
Huh, plum. I never thought about
the internet community. Here, according to Thrillist, the 23 flavors. Apparently, the recipe is locked up at Dr. Pepper headquarters. Yeah, because people are really going to Mission Impossible through a skylight to steal that shit. And somebody did, because it's called Mr. Pibb. But it's the internet community speculates they are amaretto, almond, black cherry, black licorice, carrot, clove, cherry, caramel, cola, ginger, juniper, lemon, molasses, nutmeg, orange, prune, plum, pepper, root beer, rum, raspberry, tomato, and vanilla.
Jesus Christ. Tomato? Nutmeg? At what point could you...
I think it's just CK1 and Pepsi. That's what I think Dr. Pepper is. And I'm all right with it. I don't mind a Dr. Pepper from time to time. I really don't drink pop at all.
Yeah, pop.
But if I'm reaching for one, it's usually like a Cherry Coke or a Pepsi. Not a Cherry Pepsi. Cherry Coke, regular Pepsi. Or a root beer.
Oh, there you go.
I got to start getting down. People are like doing root beer like the way they're doing craft beers. They're just doing like these small batch kind of things. I don't think I need the sugar, but
I love a root beer.
A sweet treat.
You know what else I like that is probably in the same vein as far as small batch, whatnot? A good either ginger ale or ginger beer. Ooh, give me a good ginger ale, like a spicy one. It used to be a Red Brick, I think, is the company. They used to make a little spicy ginger ale that came in a little rounded, like 10-ounce glass bottle. You remember back in the day when sodas were in bottles, but you could get, like in the mid to late 80s, you could go into a gas station, you could get a 16-ounce glass bottle that was kind of fat, like short and fat. So they had the 16-ouncer, and then they had a 10-ouncer, which is obviously a little smaller. But it was that 10-ounce same type.
My man Stike, who does Roico Customs, custom paints guitars. He's painting one of my guitars right now. Every time I roll through the North Carolina area, he always makes custom cocktails at home, but he gives them to me in a little New York seltzer bottle.
Yeah, New York seltzer bottle type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen those in a store around on the West Coast in forever, but he's still getting them. It's always a custom concoction. So, what's going on with you, Ben? You went to the doc, you said?
Went to the doctor Friday for the first time in 20 years, and so far, no news.
Doc, is my dick supposed to be this big?
Help me out, I'm swollen. No, they took blood work and all that. I don't have the results back on that yet, but they took my blood pressure. Old hefty boy Dave is coming in at 120 over 70. Perfectly normal, according to my Russian doctor.
Did you ask him to do it again?
Yeah, they did it twice. Yeah, no, they literally did. They said because I don't think they believed it the first time. But yeah,
I think you know, regardless of food consumed, you're a pretty chill dude.
Yeah, I think that's. Most I was thinking about that. That's probably something in my favor. Is that I'm fairly chill, and I have very low stress in my life. You know, no kids.
You clearly everybody used their turn signal on the way to the doctor.
Exactly. Yeah, and I've never smoked cigarettes, so that's got to be a plus in my column. You know, so pretty chill. Don't smoke cigarettes. So there we go. But yeah, you know, she was just like, It's funny. They weren't very thorough at this doctor. I think I'm on like a cheap insurance plan, and you know, they just, here, go to this place. But they didn't even weigh me. They asked my weight.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe get that blood pressure. I got a machine here, man. I'll bring it down there next time. We could both have a blood pressure off.
Yeah. But yes, they asked me my weight, and then they would just ask, you know, well, what are you, anything you're concerned about? I was like, I feel like I might eventually have diabetes, so I think we need to check for that. And that's when they did the blood work.
I like that. Yeah, everybody's pre-diabetic. Like, yeah. I'm pre-diabetic. Like, isn't there just, everybody's pre-everything.
Yeah.
If you don't have it yet, like, do you have sex without a condom? You're pre-AIDS. That was classless. That was a classless joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right, buddy.
I could have picked a funnier STD.
STD. Oh, boy. Knock on wood. Never had an STD, Kyle.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Really? Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was real paranoid about that back in the day. Man, like, I'm not going to say I didn't have sex in high school, but I was so paranoid. I think just not knowing, you know, really how to do any of that. I was just like, man, I'm going to get an STD and I'm going to get somebody pregnant. That used to just scare the shit out of me.
Yes.
Not enough to keep me abstinent, but boy, I was so paranoid about those two things.
Dude, all my friends, we were like all raised like so. Like, it was like, you know, that part in 40-year-old virgin where he talks about he was like raised to be so respectful of women, he feared them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was me and all my friends. Every time I like first had sex, we're like, I think it's gonna fall off, something's wrong, something's not right. Like, the anxiety, nobody was like, oh, hell yeah, dude, good for you getting laid. Everybody just had so much anxiety attached to it.
Yeah,
it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But, well, congratulations on the clean bill of health.
Yeah, so far. Yeah, so we'll see.
So far.
Yeah,
see what that blood, see what that cholesterol's at.
Yeah, I got to check the cholesterol. They took like 4 vials. Like, the blood, man, it's like 10 minutes of them just sucking blood out of me.
Yeah. But, are you good with needles? Are you all right with needles?
Yeah, it did, Bob. You know, I don't like watching it go in, but.
Oh, you don't watch it?
Yeah, I just, you know, kind of brace myself, you know, think about something nice and gentle.
We got to give, little dirty fluid, you know?
Mm hmm.
Subdermal fluids, so we gotta
like an IV?
Hit her with the needle. Yeah.
Oh, you have to
just gotta give her some juice. Yeah, we're giving her a little juice, but you're doing the scruff of the neck. They don't feel anything.
Okay,
but it's still.
Oh,
it's
so
like
you're not trying to hit
such
like
a gnarly.
Vein?
No, no, it just goes right under the skin.
Okay, I was thinking,
but it's still
like, how the
so
hell
gnarly.
Do you
like, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not like shooting her up.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like Requiem for a Dream with this cat.
How often do you have to do that?
Every couple days.
Oh, man.
But just goes in. But so, you know, you're so scared that you're going to. We just did it. We tried it for the first time at home yesterday. And it's just Rachel and I, the two of us, like, oh, God. Oh, here it goes. Oh, God. Are we doing it right?
Yeah, but that's nerve wracking.
Wasn't too bad. But yeah, man. I drove through Remmer, Minnesota. Which claims to be the home of Bigfoot, Dave.
Yeah. You sent me that
about
picture.
That.
I'm completely unfamiliar with Remmer.
So was I. So I don't know what, although, just like when we were hiking up in Northern California, it's one of those places, there's a lot of space out there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff. Remmer is, it's in the mix of like the, what is it? They call it Land of 1,000 Lakes or Land of 10,000? 10,000 Lakes.
Yeah, I think it's 10,000.
Yeah, you got a lot of space out there to do whatever you want. You know, so it's one of those things like, all right, there's area, like, I'll believe it, but how did we both miss Remmer?
So what do they claim? The they claim to be the home of Bigfoot?
I saw it on a sign.
Mm-hmm.
There's 370 people there, so I guess nobody's really challenging them.
370 people. Wow.
That's not a lot of people to just get to agree. Like, how about this for a slogan? Okay.
That is crazy to think about. There are towns that small. Because I grew up in a small town, or what I thought was incredibly small, but we had like 2 or 3,000, but it still felt incredibly small. Imagine 200 or 300.
Well, and then this, okay, Wikipedia for this has not a lot. Remmer is also the location of the Thunder Lake Lodge, where Al Capone stayed on his vacations to Minnesota.
Okay.
And then, okay, which was originally built in 1912. In 2009, a motion-activated camera captured a picture of what some consider Bigfoot in an area near Remmer.
Oh, I'm looking at that one right now.
Okay.
In Northwoods. Let's
see. Town claims to have had Bigfoot sightings since the late 1800s and holds a Bigfoot Days celebration each summer.
This one looks bogus to me.
Even you're calling it bogus.
You know, the thing that always catches my eye with some of these bogus looking ones, it's the calves, it's the legs. I feel like, I know that they probably have hair on them and you're not going to see like full definition, but if we're looking at the same picture here, this one, look how just straight down both sides of both legs. Like no curvature, no definition. It just looks like a costume.
Well, maybe it's on account of having a big feet.
Yeah, maybe they got cankles.
The muscles don't have to develop because he's got sturdy footing. Does that have anything to do with it?
Maybe. But I feel like I've also seen clips or videos or pics where you can see a big old hardy calf or a quad.
And I'm not even saying this to be crass, but why wouldn't you see a big old swinging dick on one of these?
Yeah, you think you would, right?
Yeah, I'm not. It's just big animal.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I can't think of seeing them on gorillas.
Yeah, I think gorillas don't have very good dongs. I think I think the average gorilla dick is somewhat unimpressive.
I'm going to tell you what right now. Average gorilla penis size. Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to you guess.
The average, here's the thing.
Average erect gorilla penis.
I'm going to say 4 inches.
Man, I know why they're so mad. Mm-hmm. 1.25 inches.
No way. Erect?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord.
I am stumbling on some images. Jesus Christ, what have I done?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, no wonder they're so violent.
Body size, testicle size. Humans got big dinks, small nuts. Chimps, small dink, big nuts. And then orangutans and gorilla, small dink, small nuts.
I'm still, you know, there's that, I don't know how much of a fact this is, but I've read more than one place where they think chimpanzees are 10 times stronger than a human. And I just don't know about that.
You think they're stronger?
No, I think they're... Look, you telling me... All right, I don't know what this number is, but the average American male, I'm going to say the average American male could probably bench press 150 pounds, I would think. Right?
What does it mean? Meaning like one time?
Just one time. A one-time rep, a max out. Let's just say for simple math, 150. You telling me that
I don't
fucking
know.
Chimp can throw up 1,500 pounds?
A chimp or a gorilla?
No, it's the chimps that are 10 times stronger than a human.
Yeah, I think they're crazy strong. But also...
They don't even work
in what motion? Like, I don't know. I mean, you think how they're going to swing their body from tree to tree all the time?
Yeah.
That's
pretty... No, I'm sure... Yeah, they're obviously strong as shit. Yeah, they're obviously strong as shit. 10 times just seems like a lot. I don't know.
I have no idea how much I could bench press. I've never done. I go to the gym. I do some machines and stuff. I have no idea what I'm doing.
What do you weigh now? What are you, about 170? 160?
Yeah, about that. 170.
I bet you. And yeah, you're an active guy. I bet you with a little practice, you could easily throw up 135, the 45 plates. Get you, you know, 45 on each side. Most of those bars, or at least the ones I used to use, are 45 pounds. So 45 times 3.
Maybe Rachel and I will spot each other at the gym. Mm-hmm. We'll sort it out. Excuse me. We'll figure it out. We'll go. Both of us just spotting each other, having no idea what we're both going to need to be rescued.
Oh, man.
Well,
dude, I've been on TikTok looking around, and gym fails. No thanks. No thanks. I do not want to see someone get crushed under the squat rack. I hate that shit.
Oh, and the knees just...
Oh, yeah.
Explode.
Just fucking barbells falling on people's necks and stuff. Ugh, no thanks. That's scary as shit to think about.
Yeah, some of that... I like the stuff where it's all attached to the machine. I don't trust myself with just loose... Yeah. Loose willy-nilly stuff at the gym. I'll hurt myself with a jump rope. I'm not going to sit there with 100 pounds over my head without a safety system. But so, all right. So we figured that Bigfoots have little dinks.
Uh-huh.
That's why we never saw one.
Bigfoot, little dink.
Yeah. Big feet. Bronger had a joke where he's like, because, you know, he's 6'4".
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah, I saw that joke.
Oh, you did?
But he's so tall.
Yeah, if he ever made a porn, it would have to be called, "But He's So Tall."
Oh, man.
Well, what else is going on in the world of supernatural? I didn't see anything supernatural this week. Nothing scary. I was just excited about that Remmer place.
Yeah.
Them just being like, it seems like almost like, yeah, why not? Let's go with Bigfoot. Because according to Wikipedia, also, they claim to have the world's largest eagle statue. You can just say that.
Yeah, we could verify that eventually.
Yeah. I mean, somebody said, oh, I'm looking at the picture of this Bigfoot. It does look like it's just wearing pants.
Yeah. It's a really bogus looking one. Did you guys eat anything good? I know you probably didn't. No offense.
Nope. But sure didn't.
Did any of the other guys chow down on any local delicacies?
Nah. Oh, you know what? I did eat something good.
Yeah?
Okay, Dave, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
Place called Fitzger's in Duluth. Duluth, charming little...
I told you. Charming town.
Charming little town by the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
A port city.
Yeah.
Stayed at Fitzger's. Did not expect Duluth, and some place that's in an old brewery, to have, like, renowned veggie burgers. Because I'm, like, usually house-made. Okay, and I know this isn't a boogie-related topic, but this is also a food show. I get a little upset when I want to go eat veggie burgers when, like, first off, why do they have to, like, I get that I'm ordering a veggie burger, but I still want a burger. You don't have to, like, make it like a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
Every time it's like, oh, here's our Western burger, 5 pounds of bacon on top of top sirloin chopped burger patty with hunks of cheddar cheese and slathered in sauce and all bacon, blue cheese, sautéed mushroom, and then our veggie burger is made with whispers of sprouts and a feeling of acceptance, and it's served on a participation trophy. It's like, motherfucker, you know what I want. Like, give me the thing. Like, you don't have to, like, fuck up the whole thing. I just want to substitute the patty part for not meat. And this place, and then they do, it's like, well, it's a homemade black bean patty. And I'm like, cool, serve it in a bowl because it's going to come out like porridge. You eat a black bean patty, 2 bites in, it's just 2 handfuls of porridge, malto meal you're trying to shove into your mouth. This place made one. It was like with rice or whatever they had in it. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
There you go.
And they didn't like candy ass it up. It was still all the same fixings.
Yeah.
Damn, man. I was kind of upset that we left early in the morning. I was like, I'll get that again.
What if anybody ever cool orders spot. Anybody, it'd be funny to order a veggie burger with bacon. It's like, no, I just don't like ground beef. But
There's a place called Killer Burger up here, and their whole thing is there's bacon on every burger, but they also offer a vegetarian burger option, which I didn't realize until I went there. I'm like, oh, this place has veggie burgers. The whole thing is like, oh, no, it's bacon. Bacon's on every burger. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, Killer Burger is like, what, just because of heart disease? I don't know what your angle is here. It was not very good. But so, no, nothing, no crazy foods, a lot of gas station snacks.
Yeah.
A lot of gas station food and sitting. I'm feeling pretty sluggish. Hence the old lady yoga class. And I went to the gym yesterday, too. So
look at you. I've been crushing it, dude. I've been slinging these kettlebells around. I got that new 75-pounder and been doing 100 deadlifts every day, minimum for that, amongst other things. But
What's a deadlift?
Deadlift, just feet shoulder-width apart, the weight's on the ground. Just bend over, pick it up, keep your back straight. And with this amount of weight, I can my technique, what I try to do is I grab it with my hands, but then I try not to use any of my wrist, forearm, or arm strength.
Core strength.
Yeah, I just use my core and my back and just stand upright.
That's what the chimps have, core strength.
Yeah, that core strength. But yeah, slinging that thing around, doing a little bit of my form's not great, but with that weight, I can do a few reps of just the classic kettlebell swing. The only problem with that amount of weight is I'm so paranoid it's going to go slipping out of my hand and crashing through my hardwood floor.
Yeah, it's going to go down to the neighbors.
Yeah, I'm going to kill my neighbor downstairs. So,
well,
that's the thing with weightlifting in general, though, that you just have to accept is just don't let your ego get in the way. Don't try to do more weight than you can safely do.
No problem.
Yeah.
I show up to the gym in like free t-shirts and sweatpants. There is no ego attached to my gym experience.
There you go. Good for you.
And there's not a lot of doofuses at this gym anyway. Not that I have a lot of gym experience, but it just seems that I think there's a lot of, because Nike's across the street, and I think they do get some athletes. And everybody just keeps themselves. I'm just on the...
Yeah. I always forget that Nike's right there in your town.
Nike's in town. Adidas is here. So many Prefontaines.
Man, when I first moved to L.A., you know, living in the van, I had to get the gym membership at Hollywood, or no, what was it? L.A. Fitness on Hollywood Boulevard. And I'd go there pretty much every day to shower and do my thing. And I would work out some. But boy, you talk about doofuses. That is like ground zero for douchebaggery.
Oh,
yeah. My favorite thing was just being on the treadmill and just watching people try to, on the sly, check themselves out in the mirror. There's some guys and gals that just, you know, they're putting on a full posing display and they're not trying to be discreet about it. But then you catch those others that are just trying to be a little, admiring themselves a little too much in the mirror.
Yeah, I mean, some of it, I think the people that are looking in the mirror are, like, checking their form because you can't see it as your own person. Mm-hmm. But whatever. We know it's L.A.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Speaking of L.A., I don't know how much this has made the national news circuit, but this last week we had our first Los Angeles, by the way, not just California or Southern California, Los Angeles had their first issued blizzard warning since 1989. It's been insane around here the last week with the weather. Crazy snow and crazy rain. Snow on the Hollywood sign the other day.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, my mom was telling me about that.
Snow accumulation on the ground in Pasadena and La Cañada, Flintwood, which is, if you know the area... I mean, Pasadena's 20 miles from where I'm at.
It's in the foothills, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I mean.
Follow Brooks Whelan's Instagram. Brooks went out to Lake Arrowhead to be like, oh, I guess a little snow's going to fall. He is stuck there.
Seven feet.
He is stuck. That guy, yeah, he's stuck. He shoveled the driveway, but the streets aren't plowed yet.
I mean, it's insane. So
yeah, they're all trapped up there. Like, literally trapped.
Oh, man. Have you ever been snowed in? For more than like a day?
Not to... Well, Portland, everything shuts down because they don't have the equipment and they don't have salt trucks. Mm-hmm. So if it snows even the if it snows even the slightest bit, which Shane Brendan was making the joke last night, but I've made it too. Like, everybody here has a fucking Subaru and nobody knows how to drive it. Mm-hmm. I've made that complaint, but it's all-wheel drive.
Yep.
You can get through. But the last week I wasn't here, even coming home from the airport, cars and ditches. Just because, it snowed and people are trying to get home. It's slush. It's ice. Yeah. So everything shuts down here when it snows even a little bit because then it gets cold and it ices over.
Did you ever get shut in the burbs of Chicago growing up?
Nah. I mean, everything was ready for snow there. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because it's ready for snow, but then it doesn't seem like it snows that much at all anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There.
Boy, it's and cold. Now,
but everywhere else is getting it. It's nutty, man. It's nutty.
It's so cold there in the winter.
Tell me about what's this eternal storm you're talking about?
All right, I was going to tell you about the Arc storm. This is something I heard about a while back, but it feels like it's happening right now. Arc storm, ARK, and that stands for something. Atmospheric river, and then the K is 1,000 year, as in 1,000 year storm. Okay. So Arc storm's a hypothetical scenario for California, specifically California, caused by a series of atmospheric rivers that drown much of the state in reoccurring rainstorms. And this happened a few months ago here in Los Angeles, where it rained every day for like a week, and people were talking about atmospheric rivers. And I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. But basically, I guess just the rain kind of, the precipitation or whatever just is kind of formed like a river, just these long, narrow stretches up in the atmosphere that just create this excessive rainfall. Let's see, this arc storm, it's estimated to produce precipitation that in many places exceeds levels only experienced on average once every 500 to 1,000 years. That's insane.
All right, tight.
Yeah, atmospheric river weather patterns that are common on the West Coast that cause huge, I never knew how to say this word, deluge? Huge deluge of rain?
Deluge? I say deluge.
Deluge.
But, I mean, you know, up to you.
Yeah. But anyway, they think that the damage that this thing could create, they think if this thing hits, they're saying it's basically going to rain nonstop 24/7 for like a month. And if that happens, it's going to create so much damage in Southern California. Just the way the topography is laid out with, you know, you got mountains and valleys and just all the runoff from those mountains. They talk about it's going to be at least three times more catastrophic in terms of damage than the big one, the big earthquake that we're all paranoid about.
Well, isn't it supposed to like start flooding now? I mean, I remember the days when it would rain and that LA River would get to the brim. Mm-hmm. You know, and isn't that supposed to be, is that happening now?
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. It's insane. It flooded over. The five really? Shut, the five freeway shut down, just north of town around Sun Valley. That shut down for like 12 hours. And there was video of cars like stuck, like bumper deep or even above the bumper, just on the five freeway, not little back roads, biggest freeway in our state.
Just where at? Where was it at?
Around Sun Valley.
Sun Valley. Okay.
North of Burbank.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Things getting wild down there, buddy.
Oh, man, it's crazy. Like, it really – and I know – obviously, you know, people around here are going to freak out more than the average person just because rain and definitely snow are so foreign to us. I mean, I don't know the exact figures, but living here for a decade now, it feels like, outside of these weird anomalies that we're having now, it feels like we get rain like once a quarter, you know, for the most part. Would you say? Like,
yeah.
Your experience living here, like every 3 or 4 months, we'll have one day of rain. But, yeah, it's just been insane this week. And this arc storm, They think it'll dump 100 inches of rain, triggering mudslides, washing debris from mountains across the region. Electrical grids will be darkened. Cell towers will be toppled. I mean, it could be a huge clusterfuck if something like that were to happen.
What's your plan?
Don't know. I've been thinking about it. Got to figure. You know, I've got kind of a loose plan as far as, like, you know, when the civil unrest gets too unresty. But yeah. You know, as far as, and we've talked about that, as far as bugging out and stuff. But man, with a flood, I don't know what the fuck I would do. I mean, fortunately for us, we're on the second floor of an apartment building that already sits up high. So
it's more the civil unrest. That's what I'm. Because I was always curious about what L.A. would do in terms of. I guess, okay, here's a bigger topic. You know, some shit goes down, natural disaster. Now, clearly, the country does not get along politically, this or that. Mm-hmm. Now. But I will fully admit without reason, I'm sure that red state or Republicans are more prepared for shit than liberal Democrats. Sweeping generalization.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of a city like Los Angeles, where it is just everybody is there, not even self-centered in a bad, which is like everybody's there to like make it and this and that. Nobody's really like thinking in the practical terms. I mean, I don't know. Do you have an earthquake kit?
Yeah. Yeah, I got an earthquake kit. Okay. Yeah. No, you're right. I think the average Los Angeles citizen is dead as hell if anything like this were to happen. These people can't even cross a street without staring at their phone.
I think you'd be safe in the valley where all the crew people work.
Mm-hmm.
Where the set builders and the electricians and the lighting people, they're going to have practical skills. I think you're better off
industrial
out
and
Van Nuys or something as far as getting things back up and running.
Yeah.
In Hollywood itself, I don't know, man.
Oh, everybody around here would be dead.
I think it would.
But yeah, that it is scary to think about, like, you know, in a situation like this, one of the most important aspects of survival would be the means of getting the fuck out of Dodge. And if every roadway is flooded, I don't have a boat. I don't have a boat. I don't have a helicopter. So, that's scary to think about, to be, you know, when I think of natural disasters, I mean, I think of tornadoes and earthquakes and things of that nature. But, like, a flood or, you know, tsunamis, things of that nature, like, this has altered my ability, my mobility. You know, like, I can't, you know, if everything's flooded, I can't be on foot. I can't be in the car.
You saw it in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. God, how scary was some of that footage? People just floating on couches and shit. Like, that's so terrifying.
Sitting on their roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is like a whole new level of paranoia, you know, especially there's something about water, too. I think it's inherent in, you know, human nature for most people to have at least a little bit of fear of water, just, you know, because we can't breathe underneath it. So you add that, you add the lack of transportation and mobility, like, talk about feeling helpless.
I will say, when people talk about feats and, like, and it's the youngest person to fly around the world or something, it's when you hear about somebody that's like 14 and they sail across the ocean by themselves.
I mean, that's crazy.
That blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first off, just the intellectual skill, but then mentally. Let me see how long. I'm gonna find out how long it takes to sail across the ocean. And that way, youngest person to sail. Let's see, youngest person to sail across the world. Laura Decker did it in 1955, and so she was. Oh no, she was born in 1955.
So when'd she do it?
She did it in... wait, Dutch court. Oh, Dutch court tried to stop her. She did it at 16 years old.
Damn.
518 days.
Good Lord. Completely alone.
Now, I mean, now you want to talk about Bigfoot that's out in, you know, uncharted forest. Just psychologically.
Oh, my God. The ocean?
Sitting out there. Oh, like I'm getting.
That's so scary.
Nervous hearing about it. I want to.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. I want to see what her longest.
Every now and then you'll see those videos of like an aerial view of like a windsurfer or a paddleboarder. And then they have no idea there's a fucking whale underneath them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good Lord.
So obviously it was broken up, but I'm not gonna like try and read this while we're on the air, but just the length of time, you know, commenced Atlantic crossing from Cape Verde to St. Martin, a distance of 2,200 nautical miles or 2,500 miles on land on December 2nd, and she finished.
I never understood the difference
on December 19th. Yeah, I'm not sure, but.
Have to do with the curvature of the earth or something?
I have no idea. But so that was 17 days. That was 2.5 weeks. I thought it would take longer.
That's insane, though, to think about. Like, when I drive cross-country in 4 days alone, that just, you know, it just seems like such a journey. And then when I'm done, I look back, you know, I look at the map and like, oh, I drove from here to there and 2,000 miles. But like, on a little sailboat in the middle of nowhere.
She had 47 days at sea nonstop.
Jesus.
And 1 point. So you think about just the keeping yourself mentally. I mean, it's like space travel at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you're not, seeing anything familiar. Oh, boy. I wonder how they're going to do that, if it's just going to be. They're just going to put people under to go to Mars.
Yeah, just like I don't know. And how long would that take? Did we figure that out? How long it would take someone to get to Mars?
Let's look it up. I got the machine in front of me.
Six months, probably.
To Mars? 7 months.
7 months, that's not, good Lord.
That's not... I mean, it's still nuts to be in a little tiny spaceship. But it's not something like, is it years? No, 7 months.
Damn.
7 months to get to Mars. Okay. We should explore that one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of podcasts you're going to have to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to this arc storm, other than the natural damage caused, just like you were hinting at, the infrastructure and the civil unrest. Think about drinkable water. That would become scarce. Think about wastewater treatment plants getting flooded and deprived of the chemicals they need. Then, imagine all the flooding as far as like the infrastructure and the sewage facilities and the sewers in general. Just all that shit.
Yeah, flood water ain't pretty, man.
Oh, they say raw sewage. Come up through maintenance holes, flooded manholes, toppled poles, fiber optic cables.
I stepped on a nail in flood water.
Ooh.
Stepped on a nail right when I was out, right when I was walking around. The way the house I grew up in, we were at the top, not the top, but like we were kind of on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like the whole, like we were in a flood zone, and the flood water would basically come up to the curb in front of our house. Sometimes a little more. Like as a kid, I remember people in canoes going in front of, on the street in front of my house.
Wow.
And people were, it was like thinking about it, it was weird. Because it would be this whole section of the neighborhood where you'd look down a half block because of the way the hill was, and those houses would just be underwater. You'd just see roofs. But our house, so people were just like setting up chairs like it was the beach on the street in front of our house. And just sitting out there seeing if it's getting worse or better, you know, from where the, where their chairs were at. And yeah, I was out walking like the stuff that like that would wash up, like float up to the edge of the flood water. And there was some, there was boards and stuff. So I was kind of walking across these boards. And right as my mom was like, be careful because there might be some, I just right through my shoe. And fortunately it went like the nail like went between my big toe and other toe, but like it took a little, it took a chunk out, and I was like, I think the worst thing that could happen just happened.
Oh man.
You know, remember what you told me to be careful about? You told me a little bit too late, and I gotta go to the doctor now. So yeah, I had to get a tetanus shot. Yeah.
That had to be a sight seeing canoes float by your house.
It was something, yeah, they were kind of just going to you know, see if anybody's around, see if they could help with get pets out or anything. But now if you go back where my folks are, the house across the street is still there, and their basement would get it. So the house, the way the flood water was because of the hill, they, like that place has been all remodeled God knows how many times. But behind that, it's all open. It's just a park now because there used to be houses. Growing up, there's houses all over there, and now it's just one big open field because it's a flood zone. It doesn't really flood like it used to. Because they had to do massive construction, retention ponds all over there. And then one of the houses, one of the last houses they had was a, I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, it's a fire. And they're like, no, that was the practice house for the fire department. So they would intentionally light it on fire to do training. So, but yeah, it's hardly a Katrina scenario. You talk to Sean Patton about being down there during Katrina, but.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about him. Yeah,
so they were just wilding out too. He said people were just partying. It's like, all right, well, feels like the world's ending. Wow. Just go to somebody's house, get wasted, and then they'd all get arrested if they're out past curfew, and they'd keep them at the wherever they're, that Smoothie King Stadium or something was the where they were keeping people at.
Well, Smoothie King is their basketball arena, but yeah, the Superdome is the football.
Superdome, that's what it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never experienced any floods. I did get snowed in for like 8 days one time in high school. It's actually, we're coming up on the 30-year anniversary. In early March of 93, Georgia had a crazy blizzard, and it caught everybody off guard. Even in, you know, December, January, we're not prepared for that kind of shit, just for the infrastructure and salt trucks and stuff. But once you get into March you in Georgia, you think, all right, we'll – winter's pretty much done. I had already started baseball season. I was playing high school baseball, and we just got dumped on, huge blizzard, and we were pretty much trapped in our house for 8 days. And it was trapped meaning like we couldn't operate a vehicle, we couldn't get our vehicle out of our driveway. So just on foot if we wanted to do anything. I remember I walked after like the third day. We started to get a little concerned because we were running out of groceries. And my dad gave me like $20 or $30 and said, "If I think I volunteered to walk to the local mini mart, which was still 5 miles away. So I took like $30 and I walked in the snow 5 miles to, God, what was the name of that little place? It was in Waleska, Georgia. The Super Thrift or something like that, but you know,
was
kind
there
of
anything left on the shelves.
There wasn't much. I remember getting like a 10-pound bag of potatoes, and for some reason we didn't really eat this, but I just thought, hey, this seems practical. I got a bunch of canned chili, so I remember getting potatoes and canned chili, and just like
can't be picky.
Three or four big bags worth, you know, whatever I could. I think $30, and then I had to walk about halfway back carrying those bags, and it was really quite a task, and eventually somebody picked me up. I jumped in the back of this dude's pickup truck and he drove me back home, just some stranger. But I was like 15. I remember like, I'm gonna save my family, I'm gonna, because I mean we were, I mean that was the closest food, was a 5 mile walk through the snow. And that was a huge event back then. But yeah, it was like 8 days, no power, no hot water, just sitting around with my family. You know, at 15, you know, I'm over all that. I'm a cool teenager. I got girlfriends. I play baseball. I can't be hanging out with my family for 8 days. This is lame. And yeah, that was real boring.
Yeah, man. A lot of games of Uno. That's why up north, everybody's got snowmobiles. Like, I can't use the car, whip out the snowmobile.
That's cool.
Well, it's just mushy around here these days. So
yeah.
Oh, man, I hope you survive the Los Angeles arc storm that you're in.
Yeah,
the middle of.
I'm not looking forward to that. I was already paranoid about the big one. Now I got to worry about this fucking month long storm. They think if it happens, they think it'll cause $1 trillion in damages. That's more than I make in a year.
Are there a lot of earthquakes happening, or is it just obviously the one in Turkey? But then there's one in Japan. It was like 6.8.
Oh, the Turkey one. They had another one like a week or two later.
Yeah,
you hear about that? Like another sizable one. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, like it's bad, you know. But then I saw there was one in Japan. I wonder if it was just a little angry earth syndrome going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, again, is it happening more, or are we just seeing more news about it?
Yeah, but I mean, 6.8 is big. Like, that's a reportable one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, well, there's a... I follow the LA Quakebot, or I used to.
Yeah, I follow.
It's like, point three.
Mm-hmm.
This or that. I'm like, I'm not worried about this shit.
We had a decent one here about 2 weeks ago, in the middle of the night. I don't know if I told you about that. I think it was...
Some wake you up? Some.
Yeah. Yeah, it woke me up.
What'd you do? Like, did you get out of bed? Get nervous?
Yeah, I got out of bed. Got in the door jams.
Well, it was a getting the door jams kind of quake?
Yeah.
I mean, they all are if you feel them.
Yeah. It probably lasted 10 seconds and definitely didn't knock anything off the wall, but it was definitely rattling a bunch of shit. That's scary, dude. A hell of a way to get woken up.
They're scared. The Oregon's supposed to have one, too. And the scariest thing about earthquakes, people don't know, it's that you don't know how bad it's going to get.
Exactly.
So you start feeling it, and it starts getting a little worse, and then it starts getting a little more worse, and then a little more, and you're like, oh, if this doesn't stop, things were doomed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I was telling you, when I used to live off Los Feliz Boulevard, like, shit, I don't know, 13 years ago, and there was one, and it was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I got, like, I was sleeping or something. I got up. I was in my underpants. But I grabbed my wallet and went to run outside, which is not what you're supposed to do. It's an apartment complex. It wouldn't have helped. And what's my wallet going to do? I was not prepared. I would like to think, I'd like to buy some clothes because the earthquake ruined my apartment. I don't know. Everybody, you can have all the preparedness stuff in place, but like, you never know how you're going to manage in the moment of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think almost in some sense, the ability to stay calm in a crisis is worth more than having all the shit you need if you're just too panicked to reach it or, you know, utilize it.
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
That's a better way to say it. I knew that phrase was out there, and I didn't use it.
Mike Tyson, I think.
Yeah. Mike Tyson also famously wanted to fight a gorilla.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I don't know if they had to somehow... Let me look up. I'm not going to Google Mike Tyson gorilla. That's going to get me on some lists. Fights a gorilla... Did Mike Tyson try to fight a gorilla? Yes.
Yes.
Mike Tyson once offered a zookeeper. This is from Sportskeeda. Mike Tyson once offered a zookeeper $10,000 to let him fight a silverback gorilla.
Jesus Christ.
What? The incident took place in the 80s when Tyson was an unbeaten heavyweight champion and widely regarded as one of the most dangerous fighters on the planet. You cannot act incredulous today because you think you can fight coyotes.
That's true. That's true.
Mike Tyson is just an exaggerated version of somebody who thinks like, well, mankind is not offering me a worthy opponent. I need to fight a gorilla.
He would get dominated. I would say a UFC fighter would have a better chance. You know, someone who's got a well-rounded skill set. You know, if Tyson doesn't,
I don't
land,
know. What are you
going to
grapple with a gorilla?
I mean,
I think
that's
strength.
Exactly
I
what's
think...
going to happen. He's going to grapple with you. You gotta have some takedown defense. You know, some escape maneuver, something. You can't just rely on your knockout punch, Mike Tyson.
If you're Mike Tyson, you can. Not saying it's going to work, but you can rely on it. It's going to solve a lot of things. Mike Tyson's punch, I think if he punched a gorilla, I have no idea. I would have watched it.
See, I think, now obviously Mike Tyson would destroy me, but I think I would have a much better chance against a coyote than Mike Tyson would have against a gorilla.
I agree. What if Mike Tyson killed the gorilla? Would somebody have to shoot Mike Tyson? Because that's what happens if you fall in a gorilla cage and a gorilla kills you. They have to shoot the gorilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how that would play out.
Also, was he just at the zoo? With a rack of bills?
Hey, apropos of nothing.
Let me in there. Oh, trying to bribe your way into a nightclub? Just let me in.
Oh, damn.
Tyson and his then-girlfriend, Robin Givens, went to a zoo mm-hmm. and hired out the entire place so that Iron Mike could peacefully watch the animals without getting mobbed by fans. That's... Tyson apparently noticed a silverback gorilla bullying other gorillas, and he wanted to put the animal in his place by fighting him. Here's a quote. I paid a worker at New York Zoo to reopen it just for me and Robin. When we got to the gorilla cage, there was one big silverback gorilla there just bullying all the other gorillas. They were so powerful, but their eyes were like an innocent infant. I offered the attendant $10,000 to open the cage and let me smash that silverback snot box. He declined. He used to own 3 pet tigers and also wrestled them. Mike Tyson, you know? Really, people really ignored those rape charges and let him back into their hearts.
Yeah, America's most lovable rapist, convicted rapist.
Yeah. Real wild, yeah, real wild that, you know, it's all about stomping out everything, but then people were, like, wearing all the Mike Tyson boxing gym and put him, it's like, I guess everybody's like, he went to jail, he did his time. Apparently that's...
Yeah.
The A-OK thing.
Yeah, I get that. I get that part of it, but it's still... Well, it's the same way, too. Like, it's crazy how adorable and lovable Snoop Dogg has become. Pretty sure he killed a guy before he was famous. I think he admits to that in some gang-related activity. But, yeah.
Let's look it up. Snoop Dogg, shortly after graduating from high school at Long Beach Polytechnic, he was arrested for possession of cocaine. Snoop Dogg's rap sheet. Attempted murder. Oh, wasn't there? Acquitted of a murder charge after a rival gang member was felled by shots alleged to have come from a car he and two fellow gang members were in at the time.
Okay, acquitted. Then I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Oh, you got some.
How did Tyson only serve like 3 years? How does that work? You get convicted of rape and you're out in 3 or 4 years?
I think being the most famous boxer in the world. Sentenced to 6 years, released after 3.
Sentenced to 6. That even seems light, though. I get how, you know, most people wind up serving less than what they're sentenced, but you're sentenced to, you would think rape would carry a heavier sentence. At least it should.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. All right, buddy.
I'll plug real quick, patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month, you could be a patron. Right now, if you go to the page, you'll find the latest edition of Dave's Movie Room. Not review, but room. Sometimes I do Dave's Record Room. Sometimes we do Dave's Kitchen. But I've been on the big movie kick, and I talk about all the movies I've watched lately. Since I recorded that, I have watched a couple more. I watched the original Star Wars last night. Enjoyed the hell out of it. Never been a big sci-fi
original,
guy.
Even though it's like number six or something?
I guess this one's now called Star Wars A New Hope. But the original, the one that came out in 77. And I used to love that when I was a kid. But then I kind of fell out of love with, you know, all things sci-fi and whatnot. But just went back for nostalgic shits and giggles. Watched Star Wars and really enjoyed it. So, trying to that's my least favorite genre is probably sci-fi and fantasy. So I'm trying to get a little more into that. Like I said last week, I watched the original Blade Runner. So yeah, I'm trying to go back and watch some of the classics. Watch The Whale the other day.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Loved it. Loved
really?
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Not an easy watch, like. But very well done, very well written, very well acted, layered, not just about, you know, big fat guy. There's a lot more to it than that. But, didn't know what to think of that one, but really enjoyed it.
All right. I've heard I just want to see Brendan Fraser be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, based on my enjoyment of that, as I tend to do, if I get caught off guard by someone's performance or someone that I feel like I've kind of slept on, I like to go back and watch some of their other work. Notice that I had never seen Blast from the Past with him and Alicia Silverstone.
What's that one? That's like...
Boy, what a piece of shit. No, it had a great potential. It had a great setup. His dad is Christopher Walken. It's late 50s, early 60s, Cold War, paranoia. He builds this bunker and prematurely false alarm. He thinks that there's a nuclear attack, sends the family down into the bunker, and he has it rigged up because based on his knowledge of fallout and, you know, radioactive nuclear stuff, he says that it could take 30 to 35 years before it's safe to go
back up. So they stay down. I get it. So they stay down. So he comes out. Yeah.
It's rigged up to where they're basically he locks themselves in there. Like it wasn't a real choice. It was just like, oh,
so
yeah,
I forgot. Basically, this is just an Encino Man on a shorter timeline.
That's what I said. How weird that Brendan Fraser did two similar movies like that. But so great potential. Then, you know, mom's pregnant right when they go down. So she has the baby, and 30 years later, he's an adult, and they come back up one at a time. And could have, you know, good setup, but boy, it really, once he gets. You know, gets up above, you know, society there, back into society, it really fizzles. There's just not a lot to sink your teeth into. But
well,
I don't know what I was expecting from that old classic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was, going to be good anyway. So.
But yeah, I did like Encino Man back in the day.
It's, old Pauly Shore and the height mm-hmm. of the weasel.
Yeah.
The height of the weasel is what we needed. Well, the height of the weasel. All right. The height of the weasel. Small dink, big balls. It's the Boogie Monster.
The Boogie Monster.
Oh,
Star Fans Audio, a podcast network.